You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
My strength comes from internal sources. It comes from what's on the inside of my life. Amen. So that means when nobody don't want me, all my friends have walked away from me, and don't feel like I can get no hope, I can look around and I might not have no hope nowhere, but I can reach down on the inside of me and tap into a source that's greater than anything on the outside of me and declare that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Praise the Lord.
The Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Bumgardner, heard Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and the name of the rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
It says, on the air.
Yes, sir.
So we were just having fun with Pastor Dave and Pastor Jonathan before. I can't repeat that story about the big congregation, though, thank Jonathan. You're welcome. He's passing through. you can't hear him. I am Joe Martek, and this is the Team Martek Hour. And representing the Team Martek today is Vince Rizzino, CPA, not only a regular CPA, a forensic CPA, because that means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. And he also is a retired. No, you're not retired.
Not retired, please.
You're not the other thing either. You just don't teach college anymore.
That's correct. And I didn't not teach at Columbia.
And he didn't teach at Columbia. But he taught at?
SUNY Old Westbury. That's State University of New York.
You hear that?
Yeah, I did.
That's pretty big school.
I'm impressed.
It had a few more than Jonathan had in the church, huh?
Well, I can't confirm what he had in the church. I'm sure there was a few more of them, though.
Anyway, and then we also have our special guest member, who's technically not a member, but he's here more than most members, and that is Alan Love, retired prosecuting attorney from the great state of Wisconsin. I refer to him as my messy Jew, which I personally think is very appropriate, but the correct pronunciation is messianic,
correct,
which means He was a card carrying. He looks like a rabbi. You know, were you ever a teacher in the synagogue? Have you ever did any holding any class?
Well, I did. I did do some small groups that I facilitated, and I did teach Sunday school for a couple of years.
I'm talking in in the synagogue.
Yes, in the synagogue.
I thought you taught Saturday school instead of Sunday school.
No, Sunday school.
Uh huh.
Really?
I didn't know they did Sundays in the temple.
Well, it depends on what you were teaching. It was sports related that I was.
This sounds like a Jewish course to me.
Well, you know,
it wasn't shul, was it?
No, it was non. It was non.
Very good.
It was non-religious, but. You know, there are many activities that are outside of religious teaching, because part of the Bible says in both Testaments that we should be together as family and treat each other as family. And so, you know, there are people that have a lot of talents in sports and crafts and how to be a public speaker. There was an excellent.
Let me ask you this: you said it was sports, or you were teaching a sport?
Yeah, I was teaching swimming. I was very good at doing the breaststroke, and so that was the stroke that I taught. There must be something more to that, Joe. That Joe has gone into a fit of laughter. But this is a serious financial program, so Vince,
no, what are you laughing about, Alan? I'm very serious there now.
Yeah. No. Vince, are you ready to participate? Otherwise, I will give you the phone number.
I'll try.
You can call us.
That's what
I
mean.
Oh, my God.
888-221-8990.
Yeah.
Very good. 888-221-8990. That is toll-free from any place. And let me just back up a little bit. Back in '04, the way I refer, that's 2004, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, said, let's start doing swimming lessons in the synagogue on Sunday, and we'll teach the breaststroke. Oh, Dave, come on. What can you say?
Well, prior to his punchline, I was going to say it sounded with Sunday school something to do with ice cream, but
that was pretty close.
Yes, yeah. It was.
Anyway,
I'm ready to be serious. I do have a serious question.
Well, I'm not done introducing the group yet.
Please continue that.
So I did the first three. Now we have Miss Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's the hardest working realtor alive that I know of and the most credible person. Returns phone calls, does exactly what she says always, which leads me to Mike Polis, the newest member, which has probably been 5 years or so, and I don't remember how long, but it's been a good while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mortgage broker, because during the height of the recession, when there was no mortgage money available, and Mike Polis was teaching breaststroke at the synagogue. He was a substitute teacher. Guys, listen, number one, first of all, I had a client of mine. I says, you know, I'm a born-again Christian. I was telling my client, and his name is David, and I said, do you think Jesus has a sense of humor? And he says, Joe, of course he does. He has to put up with you. Well, you know, that was kind of making sense to me. Anyway. So the team, the whole concept was we got together local professionals. None of us housed together. I mean, we don't share office space. We don't share commissions. We don't share fees. We do nothing. What I wanted to do was to get local professionals that were well experienced, many years in business, with credibility and most important, integrity. That whatever they said, you could take to the bank, and we have been a very blessed group, and that it's been extremely good to us, and we have helped a lot of people, and that's our game plan, is to help and educate. And we talked about that on the morning show about educating and finding an educated consumer, and I'm going to lead into my subject in a minute after Alan Love asks Vince this $64,000 question that has nothing to do with swimming in the synagogue.
Vince. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Go.
Okay.
Alan, what are you laughing
at? What are you laughing at over there?
I'm just waiting for you to be ready.
I'm ready.
And I'm trying to gain my composure. We're having a fun show, but in all seriousness,
you're not doing very well.
In all seriousness, we have phone numbers for you to participate. 888-221-8990 is our number. Now, Vince, I read something about IRA distributions that I didn't know until I read it yesterday. And what I'm about to ask you is whether this is part of the new tax code or if it's been around for a while. And what I'm referring to is the mandatory distribution that you have to take. I read yesterday that if you channel that mandatory distribution to a charity, you don't have to declare it as part of your income like you normally do. Has that been around for a while or is that new?
No, that's been around for several years. As far as I know, they haven't changed that. That's been maintained in the law. But what that did, basically, it says you're not picking up the income. In fact, it washes. What happens is, instead of picking up the income and getting a charitable deduction to offset it, you send it directly to the charity. And yes, you up to $100,000, I believe, is the number that you could donate to charity and avoid or apply it to your required minimums.
What happens, Vince? Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Let's say I just give $1,000 a year to a charity. Not 100% of it is deductible under the code now, right?
No, charitable contributions actually they've improved the amount that you can deduct. It's up to 60% of your adjusted gross income, where last year was 50%.
Okay.
So they upped it by 10. Mm-hmm. But remember, you're still subject to the itemized deduction schedule.
Right.
You know, it's either one or the other. You itemize or you take the standard, whichever is higher. So sometimes, example, if you're a married couple and you get $24,000 worth of standard deduction, if they have no mortgage and all they're paying is their real estate taxes and that's the only other deduction they have, think about it. If they're paying, let's say, $3,000-$4,000 in real estate taxes, it only leaves you with another $21,000 of things you could give to charity. So most people are not going to give the $21,000, so they probably fall under the $24,000.
Now, the question is this. If it's in an IRA, it's really no different than if it was your own money, as far as the deduction goes?
Correct, as long as you put it, as long as it goes directly from trustee to charity.
Put it in your pocket and you move it that way. Otherwise, you go back under the 60-50 rule.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And are we all on the same page here, Alan?
I hope so.
Well, I was just trying to say, because these are questions that don't come up every day, but they do come up regularly in both of our practices, meaning Vince's and mine, where people come up with these questions. And charitable giving has been a big financial planning tool for years, where people can lower their tax rate and do something good with their money, both at the same time. So it can be very good. But you also know, Alan, that when you turn 70 and one half, you have a required minimum distribution, the government says, out of any retirement plan that has not been taxed. You know that, right?
Right.
Okay. And then you know this, that basically the first year it's around 3.5% or 4%. And then when you turn 90, you're supposed to take out 10% of what's in that account. This is per year. And when you turn 115, you're supposed to give your last dollar.
You see, I thought, Alan, you were going to ask me another question, which I thought was related, and that has to do with this unintended consequences of the new tax law. One of them is, and I was reading on this the other day, is that you can borrow against your IRA for certain disasters or things like this. However, now that casualty losses are no longer deductible except in federally designated disaster areas, people who have been in other than federally designated areas or don't normally qualify for a deduction.
Uh-huh.
Question is, are they still able to get a hardship distribution out of their IRAs? And the Congress is working on that as we speak. I think the answer is going to be yes. They've got to just modify the language and the regs, because that was one of those unintended
consequences. Well, one area that's probably going to be affected by what you just said is the people that lost their homes in California because of all the fires that are going on there.
Hurricane, although in that case, fire. I imagine they'll probably designate that as a federal disaster area, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, once I think a federal disaster area has been declared, that's a hurdle that you have to go through as far as I think the tax code is concerned.
Oh, yeah, you can't deduct casualty losses without in any other circumstance.
Yeah.
Now, Yeah. Used to be you could take it on any casualty.
Yeah, right. Which leads me into another subject, which I was going to talk about before he asked that question. The word mutual fund, we take for granted. Am I right? I mean, Vince, you've heard about them for years. Alan, you've heard about them for years. We have Pastor Dave here, who became an expert on mutual funds not too long ago. Right?
He's a pizza advocate.
But then I went on a diet.
So. Went on a diet. Right.
Pizza. No more pizzas.
No more pizzas.
Well, what happened was I ran into this attorney a little while ago who kind of surprised me a little bit when he said, well, my wife's pension fund went down in value the last quarter. Of course, that had to be Trump's fault, we all figured, you know. But so the question was, well, what's it invested in? He says, well, mutual funds. Now, what I'm trying to say is a lot of people hear that word mutual fund and they automatically assume they are all the same, and they are dramatically different. There are thousands, literally thousands, of mutual funds, and they're divided into different categories, but I'm not going to give you all the categories, but I'm trying to do this logically. If you're invested, let's say, in the Standard & Poor's 500 mutual fund, which you can do with almost anybody, and the Standard & Poor's 500 is an index that is on the in the newspaper, on the radio, on TV every day. There's 500 of America's biggest companies. They call them the blue chips, the biggest companies. These are large cap companies. So very often, you'll see a mutual fund that says large cap, or it'll say large cap growth. It'll say large cap value, or it'll say an index fund like the S&P 500 fund. These basically are very similar. They have, most of them have the same companies in them. Some of them have 100 companies. Some are 2, 3, 4, 500 companies. The size of the mutual fund can change. So right away, just that one category, large caps, might have 20 or 30 different variations from company to company, and they all will be called a large cap fund. Jump in here, Alan, anytime you want, if there's something that I'm leaving out as I'm going through this.
Oh, I'm glad that you explained that, Joe, because I always thought that was just people with big egos and therefore had a big head and a big hat.
Only CPAs.
Oh.
But that's okay.
A large cap.
And people that teach swimming in the synagogue on Sundays. Anyway, we are... Alan, forever, you're a swimming teacher. That's all there is to it for now and for the rest of your life. Anyway... Now, there's also what's called mid-cap funds. Well, what's the difference? Well, let's say that a large-cap company is called $50 billion and a mid-cap is called $20 billion. And I don't know the exact numbers, but they're not as big a company as, quote, the large caps.
So well, explain cap, Joe.
Well, capitalization. It's very good that you say that, because back, it's another word.
It's a simple equation. It's the number of outstanding shares of a company times the stock price. That's what market capitalization is.
Okay.
And that's where the cap comes from.
That's where the capitalization. So that means, let's say that's 1 million shares at $100 a share. That's $100 million capitalization. Is
correct.
That a fair thing?
Correct.
So that means how much money has been raised by the company that the company got or at one time, probably.
No, it's actually what's the current market, Joe.
Right.
It's not what they raised, but the current market times the number of shares outstanding.
Yeah. When they issued it, when they first came out, initial public offering, whatever that price is when those shares came out, that goes to the company. And then from that point on, mostly there are resales. And the resales would go, I sell my shares to Vince. Vince sells his shares to Alan. I sell mine for $10. He sells them for $12. He made a $2 profit. But they were issued by the company, let's say, for $8. So that's what the company got, was baked when they first came out. Now,
yeah, well, when they talk market cap, though, Joe, it's all on market cap, not on initial cap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because then the next side of the coin is companies also buy back their stock.
A lot of that going on right now.
Big time right now, because companies are making big profits.
And they got a tax cut, and they're buying back their stock.
Well, you know.
And they're giving out dividends to shareholders.
Guess what? This makes economic sense to some people, and some people don't agree with it, but it makes no difference. This is perfectly legal, and that's what happens. So large caps, mid caps, small caps. Obviously, that's a pretty easy thing. Small caps are smaller companies. It can be the same 50, 100, 200 in that fund, in that mutual fund, but they're different ones. There's also foreign funds. Sometimes they have a European fund. Sometimes they will have a Pacific Rim fund. Sometimes they will have Japanese funds. Sometimes South Korea. I mean, you name it, there are probably 5,000 mutual funds roaming around out there, let alone the ETFs, and there's probably another 5,000 or 4,000 of those, exchange-traded funds. But the whole concept is, you, the consumer, it can get very very confusing when you look at your statement for your 401k or your retirement account, whatever it is, and how it's invested, and what are you invested in? Because the words that the different companies use are not always easy to understand. In fact, this morning I went to see a client of mine who is a pastor up in Port St. Lucie, and he's got some retirement account through the church system that pretty much have to stay within the church system, otherwise he has a tax problem. But he didn't know what to be invested in. So I said, you got to get me a statement and then get me a list of all the investment options that are available. Because let's just take about it. Last year, Alan, the S&P 500 went up around 19%.
Correct.
The NASDAQ 100 went up around 25%. So last year was a good year to be in the market aggressively. Is that always going to be the way? Of course not. There's also what's called bond, B-O-N-D funds, and these are not savings bonds. These are corporate bonds, meaning companies that raise money, and basically they issue these bonds and they pay interest. And those bonds can be good, bad, or indifferent depending on inflation, depending on current interest rates out in the marketplace. I mean, there's all kinds of education.
Do they also invest in municipal bonds, these funds, or are they separate funds for municipals?
Well, you can have a municipal bond fund that strictly invests in municipal
bonds. I have never seen
you don't co-mingle with a corporate bond and a municipal fund.
Have you ever?
No.
Well, different strategies.
Now let's talk about municipal bonds, which we've never talked about on this. All it amounts to, let's say that Martin County School Board says, hey, we want to build a new school and it's going to cost $10 million, so they issue $10 million worth of municipal bonds. Why would I buy these things? The income is tax-free. They're tax-free municipal bonds. So most of the tax-free bonds have something to do with a government. Now this is something that upsets me. It can also do with the railroad, which upsets me, which is a private enterprise, but the government gives the railroads a little loophole that they can have tax-free bonds there too. Now, are tax-free bonds good? The answer is yes and no. The yes is, they usually pay a lower rate of interest because it's tax-free. So 2 and 3% have been the going rates for these tax-free bonds. What's the good news? Well, usually most municipal bonds are very secure. Now, I say most usually. Is that a fair way to do it, Vince?
Yes, because a lot of them are protected by the ability of the municipality to raise taxes to pay for those bonds. So it's kind of a built-in mechanism to get the money to pay
back. So when you have Martin County school system, if they hit a bond, I'd feel pretty good about that. But every once in a while, they issue one in the south side of Chicago to build a youth center. And it may not be quite as safe as a municipal bond for a school. So you have to know yourself and get educated a bit before you buy these things. Is there a negative to bonds? Well, the old rule is if interest rates go up, bonds go down. Well, interest rates are going up now, and they have been for a good year, and they're going to probably for another year or two or three. And each time that does, the value of your bonds will erode, will go down.
I think you need to explain that, Joe, as to why when rates go up, the principal amount of your bond goes down.
So let's say Pastor Dave and Joe Martek go out and buy one bond that's paying 5%, and it's $1,000, but because both of us are broke, he's got 500 and I have 500, so we become partners on that two thing. So we're collecting our 5%, and we're fat, dumb, and happy. Well, wait a minute. Fat and dumb, yes, but may not happen.
Two out of
three ain't bad. So now, a year goes by, and Pastor Dave says, you know, Joe, I don't like you anymore. I want you to get me a new partner. I want you to leave me. So I say, fine, I go to see Vince, and I say, hey, Vince, Dave doesn't like me anymore. He wants me to leave. He wants you to be his new partner. So here's my half a bond. Give me $500, and you can be his partner and collect 5%. And you know what Vince says?
I say, what's the going rate out there now, Joe? Oh, it's 7.5% for bonds today. Well, I'm not going to buy your bond at face value for 5% when I could get the new bond for 7.5%. So you've got to discount the face value of that in order to equalize to the current market.
To give it to the current market. So let's say it's got 9 more years to run. That's 2.5% per year, because mine is 5 and he's getting 7.5, times 9. So that's a pretty big discount that would be taken off to 500. So in order to get rid of me, I'm going to have to come back to you, Dave, and say, Dave, ain't that easy getting rid of me, because Vince is too smart. And he already told Alan about it, so Alan won't do it either. And I've run out of people I know.
I'm only willing to buy it for $385 for that $500 bond.
That's it.
And he's saying, I'm going to take that loss. Well, if you want to get out, you're kicking him out. Maybe you got to compensate.
Maybe you got to help get rid of me.
Sounds like it's worth it. What do you say, Vince?
If it may split the difference.
I'll tell you what, I'll give him 410 just to get rid of him.
Wait. You know, the bottom line is timing is everything. You're not going to buy bonds and load up on bonds when interest rates are going through the roof like we had in 1980-81 with inflation like we had. But you are going to buy bonds when interest rates start dropping from that level,
exactly,
because you want to lock in that great interest rate. It's the same with stocks. You're not going to
Hold still with that thought, because you hit it.
Okay.
Back to the same scenario. We got the same $1,000 bond, and it's paying 7.5%. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden, interest rates start going down, and now the new interest rates are 5, and you want to get rid of me. I go to Vince, and I say, hey, Vince, give me $500. Vince says, no problem. Here it is, babe. Because he gets 7.5 where the market is only 500, 5%. Well, I say, wait a minute, Vince, you're taking advantage of me. And he'll say, so what? Well, anyway.
So you deserve it.
You deserve it.
I thought you were going to say that you was paying 5 on the original bond. Now rates go down to 4.
Well, same thing.
So same thing. Now he comes to me and says, Vince, I got this great bond to sell you. It's paying 5%. You can only get 4 in the market. I want a premium.
Pay me
$525 now for that bond, because you're getting a higher premium. Higher rate.
And that's what happens. So the game plan is, if you have something that's paying 5 and the market is 4, you're in good shape.
Right.
But if you have something that's paying 4 and the market's 5, you're in bad shape.
Right.
Now, understand this. If you hold that bond all the way to maturity, you're going to get your money back. But, Dave, that means you and I have to live 10 more years.
Well, see, the middle ground here, being a pastor, is that I would sit down with you, Joe, and we'd work through our differences and forgive each other.
Well, at least one out of two.
Okay.
Well, that means he's going to forgive you the $500.
Very good. And let me stay a partner.
I'll work on his personal issues. Then we'll get to the money.
Good luck. That's going to cost you the whole $1,000.
In this discussion that we've had with mutual funds, there's one word I'd like to bring up, and it's a cautionary word. That word is leveraged. There are funds out there now who just don't buy straight stocks or straight bonds. They buy what are called derivatives, and they hedge their portfolio trying to boost their returns.
And you know what you're doing?
What?
You think you didn't confuse anybody with that? That's a half an hour discussion on that one.
Well, we have 36 minutes to go in the show approximately, so that would work out fine. No, seriously.
But
Joe is right. That discussion on derivatives deserves an entire show.
I don't want to discuss derivatives, but all I want to do is mention the word leverage.
Well, here comes what happened. How does a consumer know that?
That's a good question, but that's why I brought it up. How does a consumer know what they're actually buying unless they have a trustworthy person that walks them through the door, like you, for instance, Mr.
Marte? Thank you. Well, there are also mutual funds that, let's say that the Dow, you're invested in the Dow mutual fund, which is 31 companies, am I right?
Right.
And
30 companies.
30 companies. I like 31 better, but it's always been 30. Yeah, but well, I got 31 on my brain for a while.
You got 52 states too, right?
Well, that's true. How do you know that? When did we get the other ones? When I was in school, it was 48. Anyway.
Well, if you want to put General Electric back in, then it would be 31.
Then we'd have 31. And by the way, they might get back in. You never know. Anyway, the key thing I'm trying to say is when it comes to these different mutual funds, every once in a while, there are some that short the market, a mutual fund, and the market goes down, and you make money. And there are some that double down 1.5% or even 2%. So then you make money on a declining or an advancing one. So here comes these leveraged funds. And most broker dealers very much discourage those because the average person does not understand these, quote, leveraged mutual funds, even though they can be extremely lucrative. But hey, they're also extremely risky. In other words, if you normally are in this market and the market went up 10% for the year and you're into this leveraged fund that went up 20% and the same thing, it's because it is leveraged. But on the other hand, it could have gone down. If the market went down 10, it could have gone down 20. So it's something that 90% of the people or 95% of the people, maybe even 99, don't know about, don't see. And I've never seen them offered in a 401k ever. And a lot of broker dealers discourage such things except for extremely sophisticated investors that understand, quote, leverage, hedging, words that the average person doesn't use. Is that a fair analogy there, Dave? Pat?
Well, the reason I brought it up is I got a phone call from somebody trying to sell me a new mutual fund that they were coming out with that was going to leverage the stock market. And he was telling me that that I'm going to increase my return by a minimum of double what the market does and possibly quadruple.
Nice.
That was their sales pitch. Mm. That's why I brought it up, because if I got the call, other people in the area might be getting the calls, and I want to alert people.
Some of these things, when you hear them, if they sound too good to be true, that doesn't mean that they're not, but understand, very often people are told the good news, not the risk, the bad news. Mm. Have you ever seen that happen, Alan?
I've seen it too many times.
Too many times.
You know, I thought you were going to talk about other forms of leverage, Joe, like how about margin accounts?
Well, now here comes a whole different subject.
It's a whole new discussion, but really it allows you to borrow money to buy stocks?
Basically, if you want to short the market or you want to do options, another whole different category, you have to have a margin account, which means you borrow money from your broker, and then it gets much more complicated.
Oh, it's very complicated, but that's another form of leverage.
But that's a whole different thing of leverage, exactly. Mm. And boy, you talk about people can lose big time on that.
That's how the stock market fell in 29, right?
Oh,
a lot of margin accounts. And they were cold and they couldn't pay. They couldn't pay up.
Now, I've seen, in the 25 or 7 years I've been doing this, I've seen people's margin accounts get called. And it's a very traumatic effect because normally they don't get called when things are good.
No.
They get called when things are bad because you're borrowing money. It's a loan that the broker dealer makes to you so you can buy stock. Now, does that make sense to you, David?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a kidding, Joe, too. Like, if I could use the regular home mortgage as an example.
Yeah.
So you borrow a house that's worth $300,000. You get a $270,000 mortgage.
Right.
Now, what happens when your house goes down to $240,000? And you have a 270 mortgage. Well, under the same scenario, the bank would be able to come back to you and say, hey,
give me my money.
Give me my 30 grand.
Right? Mm. And guess what?
I don't have the 30 grand.
Well, then they foreclose.
Yeah.
And
they could foreclose. But they're not allowed to do that right now.
But this,
as long as you're making payments.
This did happen big time during the recession when values, people bought too high, and all of a sudden, you know, how many people, we've gone through this constantly trying to help people through these things for that now for the last couple, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it might be. 1-888-221-8990. So I had another client today, actually a retired, not a retired pastor, but a pastor that he's going to be rolling over an existing retirement account into another account. Now, when you roll something over, you don't put it in your pocket. Under almost all circumstances, it's tax-free. So let's say you leave company X, and you walk away with a retirement plan called a 401k, 403b, 457. There's like 10 different numbers and letters, but basically money that had never been taxed. That money now can be rolled away from that company and put into your own account, which is called an individual retirement account. And you now are in control of that rather than your employer or the designated a plan sponsor controlling it. You control it. What's your advantage of doing that? Well, bottom line is you control it. Sometimes when you leave a company, they want you to take your money. They don't want you to still leave your money there. Some don't. Some allow you to stay in regardless. Very often, though, most retirement plans have limited options available to you, the consumer. Whereas if you move away from that employer, you've got multiple places and multiple choices you can go, including the bank. There's all kinds of different places you can go. A lot of times people will say, okay, fine, Joe, I want to put a portion into a mutual fund, I want to put a portion into the bank, and I want to put a portion into an annuity. And you can, they can divvy it up into different sources. And why would they do that? Well, one is diversification, big word, good word. Number two, very often, which, you know, Al and I lean heavily onto an insured investment, which says, hey, we protect the money based on the market collapsing. You have a guaranteed income, you have a guaranteed death benefit that no matter what, your money's protected. Now, you're supposed to know what the insurance company is, their claims paying ability. My compliance people make me say that. But the reality is this, there's many, many, many places to go. And the whole object that I try to do is educate first. And then after you're educated is then to monitor. So like this client this morning that has this retirement account that he does not understand, he's going to send me a statement that shows me what he's got, and he's going to send me the investment options that he has. So now I can advise him, and I said, okay, what you have to do is every 90 days mark it on your calendar and call me. We need to look at it every 90 days. You don't need to look at it every day, but every 90 days at least. Wouldn't you suggest, Vince?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So you've got a thing that you need to move away from certain investments based on outside influences, because we just don't want to lose.
Problem is human nature.
Oh, yeah.
People tend to put it on autopilot.
Wow.
And because, you know, they can't either be bothered, they're impatient, they don't have the time, they're caught up with life experience, so they rely on professionals to help them.
Yeah.
You know, to keep an eye on things.
And that can work. That's also why I back to insured investments, where I can sleep because I know I've got a monster insurance company back there protecting that investment in case something happens that is unforeseen. Cataclysmic occurrences have happened in all of our lives that are sitting here, and we have no control over those things, but they can tremendously adverse a person's wealth.
Absolutely.
1-888-221-8990. Hey, class, you're supposed to call us. You're supposed to have questions. You know, we have a phone that's here, and it's ringing.
Getting a complex here.
Yeah, I know. You know, Vince, did you put deodorant on today?
No, I didn't, because Pastor won't let us.
Oh, really? No wonder I'm over on this side. I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, but I did shower this morning.
That's impressive. Yeah. You know. I understand in Europe you don't shower every day.
In Europe? I don't know about that.
No, you don't know that?
No.
You've been to Europe?
Several times.
You shower every day?
Yes.
Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, the information on this show is just riveting today, isn't it?
Is this a hedge derivative?
Unbelievable.
Let me tell you this. The breaststroke was the best part, though, of this whole show. I'm going to tell you right now. In a synagogue, no less.
And that was not at the synagogue.
Wait a minute. All of a sudden, he's taking a caveat.
Well, can we move on?
We're going to regardless.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask people to call. I haven't been speaking up about that, but there's a lot. You know, and here's the thing. You guys are teachers. I want to shift this back to the focus of the program, but it's impressive to find professionals of your stature that are willing to teach people first.
Yeah. You know, I've actually had some very gratifying experiences. I've had some young people come meet me in the office and say, can you start teaching me so maybe I can become one of you?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I love doing that. I am more than willing to spend an hour or half an hour, and even on a regular basis, to try to teach people about this business, because nothing in the world is easy. And this, as Vince and I both know, what Vince does as a CPA and what Joe Martek does as a financial advisor, you think you know it all, but after, I think I said this to a young lady that I hired, and I said, this business starts off out easy, and it gets worse every day.
Mm-hmm.
The basics are there, but the basics get constantly clouded by all of the, quote, derivatives, like the tax code, 60,000-70,000 pages. Well, the first five pages are pretty easy.
It's just the introduction.
That's the introduction, right. So, and it's the same thing with investing. There's some very, very basic investments that make life simple, but then all of a sudden you get complicated. Here, let's talk about, we're doing a mutual fund again. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ones, and this is almost impossible to figure out, are the age-weighted investments that are in 401ks or 403bs. Now, this is a brilliant thing. You know what I'm talking about,
Yes, Al? Of course.
So, David, do you know what I'm talking about, the age-weighted ones?
Every year I get heavier, so I understand completely.
Well, that has nothing to do with the performance of your portfolio.
So what they do is this.
Let's take it to the gym.
But if your body was a profit and loss statement,
you'd be in
trouble. And I would be profitable.
We'd be very profitable. No, I know it's as you get older.
I mean, how many fillets can we get out of
money?
This is another problem.
No, that's it.
Here's what happens. Very often, you go to work for this company, and let's say you're in your 20s, and they have these age-related investment options inside of the account. Well, the younger you are, usually the more money would go into stock funds, into stocks. Okay. Now, as you get older, they automatically move you out of stock and they put you into bonds. Now, why? Well, bonds were considered a much safer place, considered. But what they didn't take into consideration is how long you're going to live and how much the market changes with interest rates going up and down, adversely affecting the bonds. So when I see these age-related funds, like I've had people say, Joe, I got friends last year that made 20% and I made 3%. Well, how old are you? I'm 70. I said, what they've done is this. They've taken most of your money out of equities, out of stock, and they've put it into bonds. And with interest rates going up, the value of your account's going down. You've got to get out of that yesterday because interest rates are going to continue to go up for, I don't know how long, Alan, but at least another year and a half or two, wouldn't you say?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's what they want, Joe, but I don't see it happening.
You don't think it'll go up?
It's going to have too great an economic impact. I think it'll slow this economy down.
Well, guess what's happened, though? Do you remember Jimmy Carter?
Yes.
Did you hear interest rates go up?
Oh, they went up big time.
No kidding.
I paid 12, I think almost 13% for a mortgage back
then.
We
had 16 and 17% mortgages back then. Well, why do they raise interest rates? Well, the economy gets, in their opinion, too good.
Too heated, yeah.
Now, isn't that a terrible thing?
It is.
You're eating too well, you're living too well. We're going to penalize you and take some of it away from you because inflation is what the Federal Reserve does not like. They like 2% per year. They don't want 10 and 12%. Now, the 10 and 12% makes homeowners feel happy, but when you're going to the grocery store and you're having to pay 10% more for food or 10% more for gas or 10% more for clothes, that doesn't make you feel good.
But what is the Fed's problem lately, Joe? For the past year, their problem has been justifying rate increases because inflation wasn't there.
Yeah.
So the biggest problem they were having is there's not enough inflation to justify a rate increase, but they're doing it anyway.
Well, the other side of the coin was... If they are at rock bottom, they have no place to go down.
That's right.
So they're saying, well, let's raise them up so then we at least have a chance to lower them again if something happens.
Yeah, now, but in the meantime, if they raise them, Joe, what does that do for the cost of borrowing, for investing, and the like?
It adversely affects everybody except
savers.
Savers, people right. that have money in the bank. Like Dan was saying today that he found an internet banking that has a five-year CD at 5%.
Wow, that's good.
Which is pretty strong. Now, yeah. 5 years is a long time at five, but it's pretty good. So you just don't know. Whereas the local rates are 2.5 or 7 or 2.8 for the CDs. But the whole thing is, folks, nobody has a crystal ball that's perfect. In fact, I had a client years ago that gave me a crystal ball. Said, Joe, it didn't work for us, so we're giving it to you. Maybe it'll work for you.
Joe, I want to go back to something you were talking about just about 5 minutes ago. People that need to find somebody like you. And here's a scenario. You've got a young couple, maybe in their mid-20s. They haven't done anything in the stock market. They've gotten out of college, and all of a sudden grandma and grandpa die and leave them $250,000.
Right.
What should they do to find somebody like you that's reputable and that can really help them? Call. What are their steps?
First of all, you listen to WCNO.
Okay.
I'm trying to answer your question for you.
Yes, I understand.
listen to CNO.
But that's a good suggestion 24/7 for everybody. But
the key thing is this, and you know, there's no easy answer to finding somebody credible. Usually referrals, talking to somebody else, somebody that's been in business for a long time, somebody that's been in one location for a long time. You can check people out online. You can check them out through government agencies that are regulatory agencies to check people out to see if they've had problems. But the reality is this. What I look at some financial advisors that I don't like is that they basically just tell people, hey, just give me your money and trust me. They don't educate the people. I feel strongly that and I've had people say to me, Joe, we trust you. And I said, well, thank God you can, because you don't want to learn anything, and this is not right. I want you to learn. Well, then it's called the women on one side of the table and the men on the other. The wife knows nothing, and all of a sudden the husband's dead, and she's there going to have to try to figure this out, and he never taught her one thing all the time they were married, and she was perfectly content with that. Mm. But now it's a problem, because she can be taken advantage of. So the key thing is education, asking questions, learning. And you don't ever have to think it's a dumb question, because it never is. I mean, listen, when people say to me, well, Joe, I don't have much money. I've got $50,000. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I saved $50,000 last week. You're right. That's not much money. And they said, what? And I said, I'm kidding. $50,000 is a fortune. How long did it take you to save that money? That was a lot of time. It didn't happen in one day, one week, one month, one year. It took a long, long time. So it's a lot of money. And then when you're trying to start to figure out retirement and how you are going to live, I mean, this is a constant situation that I have with clients. Joe, what am I going to do when he dies? My income's going to go down. Well, let's sit down and calculate it and see what you've got and how well we're okay. Because what if he dies first? Well, your income's, this is what it's going to be. If you die first, this is what his income's going to be. Can you live on that? What do you have to do to adjust? We may have to make some changes. What if you live to be 100 years old? Well, I'm not wishing it on you, but it can happen. So the whole thing is, you sit down and ask the questions and have somebody like me or Vince sit down and say, hey, here's what you have to look at and make decisions based on this. A couple weeks ago, I met with a retired couple living in a retirement home, and they had their granddaughter there, who is really now going to take over stuff. So now it's a three-person education prong, and the granddaughter is going to be in charge, which is right, and making sure there's enough money coming in the kitty, and making sure mom and dad don't make a mistake. So all of these things we take for granted, Vince and I do, Alan, and this is something we've been doing for years, but you as an individual have not been doing it for years, so you need to ask the questions. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990, and if you don't call us today, besides hurting my feelings, and Vince's feelings, you won't hurt Pastor Dave's feelings, because he doesn't really care if you call us, I don't think.
That's not true. I think he wants a successful show.
You care?
That's why I punched all the buttons on the board so the calls can come through.
Jim. You hear that? Alan, do you care?
I do care, because I think that this show helps a lot of people by answering their questions.
See, I'm soliciting for a positive answer, and I finally got it.
And you got it. You know. Joe, I'm sitting here, so I feel a moral obligation to try and help you have a successful show. It's just part of my nature.
You know,
besides teaching breaststrokes
and at the synagogue, he's Alan, I will tell you this. You ever see him really laugh and smile? I mean, I think today is the most animated I've ever seen.
Tune into the fundraisers when we have. Next one's October 8th through the 16th.
He gets animated?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does he smile animated or just?
A lot. Well, he'll slip something in that makes everybody chuckle.
There you go.
And then, of course, he'll laugh.
And that's it. He did that today.
Hey, for the rest of your life, I'm telling you, I'm going to get him some water wings. And a noodle. 1-888-221-8990. Now, just in case you don't want to call, which you hurt our feelings by not calling, asking any questions, you can always call the radio station at any time, leave a message, with Pastor Dave or Jonathan or Pastor Tom, and they'll take your name and number, and we'll call you back. Now, some people are reluctant to go on the air because they think I'm going to pick on them. Now, Vince, you know I would never pick on, forget that line.
Forget that one.
I mean,
your reputation precedes you, Joe.
I know, but I've got Alan now to pick on, so I'm in really good shape. I can do this one for a few months. So
the callers are safe. It's the rest of us in the studio.
Yeah, there is something to be said for that too.
I would like to ignite a movement out there by people listening right now. I think it's time that everybody. You know, we have money issues. We all do. If you have a dollar, if you have $1 million. There is in our culture a general, I don't know what's a dislike or a fear maybe of talking to professionals.
Yeah.
And
why is that, Pastor?
Well, first of all, I think because they're afraid of exactly some of the things you're talking about, is that professionals are going to talk over their head. They're going to throw a lot of words and things out there they're not going to understand. And some may do that. Unfortunately, like anything else, a small number of people make it difficult for the larger body. But I want to ask our listeners, you know, to rethink that. Everybody has money needs. Everybody has housing needs. Everybody has, in this team, MarTech, they're all dedicated to making sure you understand.
And I will give you this, and I wish Mike was here right now, because I'd be patting him on the back real hard, where Mike has gone and really done some great things for people getting them mortgages. Where if you had walked into a bank or something, they wouldn't have got the service and the help that they needed to do it. So that's just one example. Are we running out of time? Is that what we've been told?
No, we're waiting for a phone call to come
through. But we are also going to be running out of time real soon.
Well, we got 5 or 6 minutes.
Got about six minutes.
You don't even have a card with that many minutes on it.
No, I don't. They won't give me more than 5 minutes.
But, you know, the reality is this, that in fact, we had one caller that called in not too long ago raving about what a great job Mike did for her son, who was a first-time home buyer. And, you know, Vince, you and I bought our first house many, 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 many years ago, and I do not remember what I went through to buy it. I don't remember at all.
Well, see, then we knew what to expect, Joe. It was pretty simple. They wanted 20% down payment. They needed you to show them your W-2s, that you had a job and were able to pay the mortgage.
Is that what I did?
Yeah. And that was that.
Point I'm trying to say is it's much more complicated.
Today it's more complicated because, well, there's more credit risk, I think.
And the paperwork is voluminous. And I was talking, Victoria called in on the morning show and was talking about appraisals. Mm. Well, right now, if you apply for a mortgage, you're not allowed to pick your own appraiser. Appraiser has to be picked by appraiser. The lender.
Yeah.
The lender, and that appraiser might come from two counties away up to here to appraise your property to give you the value that you can now buy it. Because what happens is, let's say you want to buy a house for $200,000, but the appraiser comes up and says it only appraises for $180,000. Well, you're going to have to put a lot more money down in order to justify the $200,000, because they're not going to loan you more than, say, $160,000 or $150,000.
Right. So you have those standards.
You got to come up with the money. Now, by the way, depending on who you are, there are 100% mortgages. There's the USDA has a no money down. The VA has no money down. There's some FHA.
We might have 3.5%.
Is there a phone call? I don't think so. There's no light blinking.
3.5% on a FHA.
3.5% on a FHA mortgage. And there are some other conventional mortgages that are in that 3-5% range now, too. So you don't have to put a ton of money down. There are things called mortgage insurance, which lenders want. If you only put 5% down, they want the mortgage guaranteed down to the if you put 20%. Well, let's take a call.
Take the call. You got a couple of minutes.
Caller, it's Joe MarTech. You're on the radio.
Hello, Joe. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am a retired senior citizen and saved some money in two amounts. The first amount I saved, I put it in one company. Then I have a little extra saving, and I decided to open another account with another company, the company with which I bank.
Right.
Now, this company is saying to me, why don't you take the money that you had elsewhere and bring it all to us?
Well, of course.
Do you think What do you think? What would you advise me about that?
Well, number one, it's not necessarily a good or a bad idea. It really depends on what investments you're going to be in. You see, investing with one person does not mean it's a bad thing or a good thing. It depends on what you're invested in. So let's just say you only go to the bank and you're only getting CDs. Well, you could go to 10 banks or one bank, and if they all pay the same interest rate, it really doesn't make any difference. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But if you are invested in different stocks, bonds, mutual funds, different things, and you don't understand what they are, well, then you've got a problem, because you should understand what you're doing whether you're in one, two, or three different places. It makes no difference. So first of all, like I normally try to do is educate you to make sure you know what you're doing and make sure you're comfortable with what you're doing, whether you're with one place or two or three.
Yes. Well, at the moment, I am waiting on the acceptance of this place that I want to put this CD. The other one, I've had it for some time, about 2 years. So.
Well, what I'm going to do is this. You left your name and number with Pastor Tom when you called in. I'll give you a call tomorrow and talk to you off the radio and just see if we can make sure to help you do the right thing. Is that okay?
Yes, Pastor Tom knows my name because I am one of his supporters.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much for calling in. And we are running. Are we running? Hey, we got down to 1 minute. Caller, you called in at exactly the right time. And I thank you so much for listening. And I will talk to you tomorrow.
A quick apology. A quick apology to our listeners. We had some phone problems, and that's why your calls weren't coming into the studio. I fixed that.
Ah,
I finally found the problem and fixed it. But
now, what's the problem? Was your left finger doesn't work, or your left hand?
Well.
So we would appreciate it if you had calls today. Please call us next Wednesday at 4 p.m. 888-221-8990.
And if Tom took your name and number and you didn't get on the radio, I'll call you back anyway tomorrow, or Vince or one of us will, to make sure we do what's right for you. All right, we're down to 30 seconds. I want to thank this one lady for being a supporter and for listening, and understand that that question comes up regularly. And very often, going to one institution can be fine, and it may not make you happy. There's nothing wrong with having two or three different places to have your money invested. 1-888, this is toll free from anywhere, 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. And until next week, adios.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
The cross has the final word. The
cross has the final word.